Let me just pray as we begin. God, we thank you for your word, and you give that to us, and you give it to us to transform our hearts. And so, Father, we pray that as we read and examine your word in Jonah today, that you would just be speaking to each of us, giving us challenges and encouragements where needed, and reminding us of the love that we have in you. Amen. So, I'm Joel. I'm going to be sharing from Jonah chapter 3 this morning. It's always good fun to be up here and get to share from God's word. I just wanted to take a moment to quickly recap a little bit of the last 2 weeks. We've gone through chapters 1 and 2 of Jonah. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at chapter 1. Henry guided us through that. And we saw that God calls us all to be a part of his mission. And Henry asked some questions. He said, "Are you like Jonah? Are you resisting God's call from mission? And if so, why is that?" 1 week ago, Ben was sharing from chapter 2, and we got to see that sharing the gospel comes from experiencing the gospel. We saw that Jonah experienced God's salvation in the belly of the big fish, and Ben asked a couple questions. He said, "Do you recognize this experience as your own? And how can you deepen your grasp on God's grace?" As we do continue to work through Jonah, it's really helpful to keep reflecting on the bigger picture of Jonah as a whole. And today we pick up exactly where Ben left off last week, that as Jonah has just had this experience of salvation in the belly of the big fish, and the fish vomits or spits him up on the shore, he's now ready to obey God and to listen and follow the instructions that God gave him in the first place, which is to go to Nineveh. So we see Jonah doing just that. He goes to Nineveh. And I was looking at this on a map, which is kind of interesting, and I had assumed it's sort of like the whale or the fish vomits him up and he's like right there in Nineveh. And that's probably what you see in a lot of kids' storybooks, like he's just there. But on a map, it's actually quite a fair way away. So he's got a fair way to walk till he gets to Nineveh. But he does that, and he goes there, and then he gives a little talk to the Ninevites, says a couple things, and then God amazingly, after the Ninevites repent, God relents and God decides not to destroy them. So it's a really interesting story today, and I think God's got for us 4 encouragements for us in mission from this. So you'll see on your little sheet of paper, there's a little talk outline. It's got 4 encouragements there that we're going to work through. And I've come up with something that's going to help us remember all of those encouragements. And all you have to be able to do is go like this with your hand. You can do it to yourself. So if you look at it like this, you'll be able to see your hand. But I'll just do it like this so you can see what I'm doing. So this is going to help us remember all of those 4 points. The first one is God uses far from perfect people. Now, if this is perfect up here, and this is people, God uses far from perfect people. All right, so that's the first one. So just stretch your hand apart. So what do we know about Jonah at this point? Well, actually, I'm going to ask you guys, what do we know about Jonah? So feel free to just call out what are some of the things we've learned about Jonah, or some of the things that he's done, some of his character, anything about Jonah, what do we know? Judgy kind of guy, yep. Stubborn. What was that one? Stubborn, doesn't want to listen to God, follow his instructions. He's a Hebrew, yep. He does find sleeping easy, even when there's a big storm going on outside the boat. Darcy? Yeah, he's scared of going to preach to the Ninevites. Why do you reckon he's scared? Because it's scary. The Ninevites are a bunch of scary people, for sure. Yeah, he doesn't seem to be too afraid of death at this point, and we sort of see in chapter 4 as well. Awesome. Some of the things I had written down as well was, and I think Henry mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that he's a bit of a nationalist. He really loves his people, and he despises and hates the Ninevites, and is really scared about what the impact that they can have on his people. And the way that he identifies himself as well, he talks a lot about his own place of living. And then, yeah, as another thing, he's experienced God's salvation as well. So he loves God's mercy and he loves God's kindness to him. He's now repented and he's ready to obey God. So with all of these things that we've just talked about Jonah, I thought it's often we look at the Bible and we see these characters that are sort of far out from what we are. But the reality is Jonah's just a regular Joe, really. He's just like us. If you think about it, we've probably run away from God, maybe not literally, but maybe figuratively. We often don't listen to what God commands us to do. And we've all got these little quirks and things about our characters as to who we are. And then God often lovingly brings us back to him. So Jonah's story, don't think of it as someone that's completely different to us, but probably think of it as someone who's quite similar to us in a way. But we look at Jonah's life and we look at our lives and we say, what a mess. Yet God uses him for a mission to a city of 120,000 people. So God uses Jonah, who's this very imperfect, very messy being, for a mission to a massive city of probably some of the hardest to reach people. God doesn't decide to like bring out the A-team or anything like that. He uses Jonah. And so the encouragement for us is God wants to use us for his mission. As messy as we are, God wants to use us. And God can use us for mission, as we get to see with the Ninevites. We are imperfect and our lives are messy, but God wants to use us for his mission. And in fact, it's often our messiness or our imperfections that God uses in our mission as a witness to his power, as a witness to his strength. So that's encouragement number one. God uses far from perfect people. Encouragement number two is God works through our feeble words. So if you get your hand up again, now who can guess this one? Feeble words, all right? So God works through our feeble words. Take a look at Jonah's sermon. Now who wants to read out Jonah? Who feels like preaching and wants to read out Jonah's sermon from verse 4? It's a pretty short sermon. Someone to read that out for us? You can do it as if Jonah might have done it. Verse 4 from chapter 3.
40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
That is it. Great sermon. you can get that in the podcast as well. Isn't that interesting? Like often we see prophets in the Old Testament and they're talking for a long time. Yet what we hear of Jonah's sermon is actually quite short. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe that's a summary of more that he spoke to the Ninevites. But ultimately, it's definitely the gist of what he was saying. The main gist was Nineveh will be overthrown. And it's interesting that in that short sermon, we can still learn a little bit about Jonah from that. And Tim Keller writes this. He says, the summary that the text gives us of his sermon was not in 40 days Nineveh might be overthrown, but in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown or will be overthrown. That was what Jonah enthusiastically wanted and predicted. He enjoyed preaching wrath. He did it with glee, not tears, because he couldn't wait for God's hammer to fall on them. Jonah takes great joy in preaching this judgment. That's what he wants. Jonah was obeying God, but there was still something going on in his heart. When we look forward into chapter 4, and Ben will tackle that one next week, we see that Jonah hates that God spares the Ninevites. In fact, he hates it so much and he's so angry he wants to die. So that reveals that Jonah's nationalism is there. The Ninevites pose a threat to his people and he wants them gone. And he thinks God's mercy should only be extended to Israelites, not to others. So even with all of this, even with Jonah's slightly skewed, like poorly motivated, very simple message of judgment, what does God do? God uses that God does a great work in bringing the Ninevites to repentance. I mean, imagine if you heard that sermon, 40 more days till Adelaide will be destroyed. I mean, it's not a lot to go on, is it? Maybe they hopefully would have had conversations with Jonah outside of that. But, I mean, the amazingness of God to work through that and to bring all of the Ninevites. God can use our words. So I wonder if that's you. Maybe you're obeying God and speaking his word, but there's something going on in your heart. There's some different motivations in there. Or maybe you are doing it with the right motives, but you feel like your words just never quite get it right and your words are letting you down. I can speak to both of those moments. I confess there's so many times where I might say something that on the outside it seems like the right thing to say or the right thing to do or the right thing to offer, but in my heart I'm going, oh, I just hope someone else comes and talks to that person or does this for me because I don't really want to do it. And there's other moments where I say something and my motives are good, but what I say is really poorly constructed and isn't enough to really do the job. And afterwards, you know, you think of all the right things to say after the moment, but in that moment, you don't get it right. The good thing is, the encouragement for us is that God works through all of that. God works through our simple words. We don't have to get it right because it's not our words that do the saving, it's God that does the saving. We see that so clearly in Nineveh. And the challenge for me in those moments where my motives aren't right is that God actually wants to deal with my heart. So he wants us to obey him and follow him. But while we're on mission, God's still working on us. He's working on our hearts. God's very clearly working in Jonah throughout this mission that he sent him on. And we'll see more of that in chapter 4. Maybe that's a great encouragement for Christy as well, as you head into this next stage of your life. You don't have to worry about how perfect you are or perfect you train and get your words, but in your mission, God's going to use you wherever you're at. What a great encouragement. Okay, so we've got God uses far from perfect people. God works through our feeble words. And God saves even the worst sinners. So the worst sinners in this story of Jonah are the Ninevites. So if we turn our hand, we get a lowercase n, and that's for the Ninevites. All right, so that's number 3. God saves even the worst sinners. You can just practice that. So how do we see the Ninevites respond to Jonah's message? They repent straight away, all of them, fasting and praying to God, putting on their sackcloth, and then the king gets down and he takes off his robes and he puts on sackcloth and sits in the dust, and then he issues a decree, and not just to all the men and the women, but the animals too, to everyone. Don't eat or drink. Pray to God. God might relent. Isn't that incredible? The book of Jonah depicts Nineveh as a wicked city worthy of destruction. The entire history of Assyria is filled with a reign of violence, terror, and torture. There's evidence that it had even turned amongst themselves, with it common to be planning violence amongst one another on a daily basis. This truly terrible, massive city of terrorists repents and changes their ways at the feeble, simple words of one man about God's judgment, and he certainly doesn't sugarcoat it. So if God can show mercy to Nineveh, surely he can show mercy to us. Paul says this well in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." You see, when we look at the Ninevites and the repentance there and the way that God relents and shows them mercy, it should lead us to reminding us that God's mercy and grace is for us. Maybe we think our own sins are too much for God to forgive. Or maybe we know people who we think that are too far gone for God to save, are too hard to reach. We need to let the truth of God saving the Ninevites, of God saving Paul, shine through to us. To know that God has done all that needs to be done to forgive your sins and your neighbor's sins, your worst sins and your neighbor's worst sins. Let that encourage us in our mission to the people around us. God can save them. God wants to save them. It's also an encouragement to the cities we're in. God wants to save Adelaide. God wants to save the people around us. The final encouragement that I wanted to share is that Jonah points forward to Jesus. So we'll go through them all again. God uses far from perfect people. God works through our feeble words. God saves even the worst sinners, the Ninevites. And Jonah points forward to Jesus. That's a J. Hopefully that's a J. All right, so that's all you need to do. And that's it. You got it. Throughout all of Jonah, God is showing mercy. He shows mercy to Jonah. He gives him another chance. He shows mercy to the pagans on the boat, we see in chapter 1. And he shows mercy to the Ninevites. In many ways, Jonah is a book that unravels the mysteries of God's mercy. And it shows God is a God who wants to show mercy. Think about the Ninevites. He could have destroyed them any time, but instead he sends a message of judgment in 40 days. Like, he gives them time to repent. God wants to show mercy. And maybe that's not too surprising for the God who is love. Now, we saw in chapter 12 of Matthew that Jim read out before what Jesus says. He says, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on judgment day and condemn it. For they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent." What a great comparison. What a great way that we see Jonah pointing forward to Jesus. Jonah was resurrected and preached a message of delayed judgment to the Ninevites. Jesus has been resurrected in full and preaches the same message to us, but he preaches a better message to us. His message is far greater than that of Jonah. See, Jesus has preached the gospel of grace to us. Jesus shows us God's complete, forgiving, powerful love on the cross. Unlike Jonah, Jesus preaches a message of mercy. His motives aren't mixed. He wants us to repent. He doesn't want us to suffer the same fate, the fate of death. And unlike the Ninevites, as we repent, we are not just shown mercy for our wrongdoings, but God gifts us with salvation through Jesus. We are gifted with grace. We are restored into righteousness and right relationship with God. How great is that? And so when we hear that news, we rejoice. We realize how incredible our salvation is, and we give all credit to our compassionate God. And what have we heard from Ben last week? When we experience grace, that actually leads us to want to share grace. That leads us to being on mission. Grace receivers are grace givers. So be encouraged, because Jesus has given us this good news. So are you far from perfect? The answer is yes. God has called you to mission and will use you in your weakness. Are your words faint, simple, or muddled, or sometimes even spoken with ill motive? God will work powerfully through our words. He is the one that does the saving. Are you on mission to someone who might be impossible to save? God saves even the worst sinners, So believe that he can save that person. He can save us, and he wants to save us. He wants to show us mercy and give us the gift of grace through Jesus. God in Jesus will use us in our imperfections and save even the worst of sinners through our feeble words. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the story of Jonah, that there's so much to be learnt from it, so much to discover. Thank you today for these encouragements. Father, we know we're not perfect. We know our words aren't always great. We know our motives aren't always great. But we know that you are the one who does the saving. You want to use us in our mission. Thank you for bringing us along. Thank you for helping us in that. Thank you for wanting to share your grace around with everyone. Father, please remind us and encourage us to be on mission to those around us, and to encourage us that it's not up to us, it's up to you to do the saving. Father, thank you that you save even the worst sinners. You've saved us. I pray that we can be reminded of this grace that we've received, to be reminded of the amazing message of Jesus. Father, please work in our hearts. Please stir this up inside of us so that we can do nothing but share this with the people around us. Amen. I've got two questions which are on the sheet, which are a good opportunity to keep thinking through this in DNA. The first question is, which of these encouragements for mission, and you can remember them because you just stick your hand up in front of your face and you can do all those things, which of these encouragements for mission from Jonah chapter 3 is most relevant to you and why? And then what might be the next steps for you in your mission to your friends, family, co-workers or neighbours?